Hello and welcome to the Exploding Barrel Podcast for October 6th. Oh, this is Mike Minotti, and with me is Edge Guy Minotti. And, hello, Edge Guy, how are you doing?
I'm very well, how are you?
I'm doing pretty good. My my team is owning in the postseason right now.
Indeed they are.
Go yeah, Indians. Go Tribe. So things are pretty good right now, and you know, I got my games keeping me busy.
Amen.
Yes.
So what are we doing this week, Mike?
Well, you know, we're doing the usual. We start off with news, then we move off into the best ever. Then our week in gaming, Mike's adventures in Final Fantasy. Then we talk about the downloadable game releases, then the normal weekly game releases. And that'll be the whole show.
All right,
so why don't we jump right into news?
All right, I got you news. First up, something that I was glad to hear. Apparently David Hayter, famous as the voice of Solid Snake, has a YouTube page. And he put up some video last week, and somebody asked him on his comments if he was going to be Snake in Super Smash Bros. Brawl. And he said, yes, he is. In fact, they already recorded it. So, you got that. Just wanted to throw that out there.
Did you see the videos?
I did not. I didn't get a chance because I was in Vegas this week, so I was checking out all the news stories on my mobile phone and marking them. So I didn't really get a chance to read, look at all the video and stuff for some of the earlier stuff from the week.
No, it's really because you know they did an update on the page and they put some videos there because Suika's like, it's like he gets Kodak messages, you know, like for information about the people he's fighting.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like the one like. Roy Campbell will come up. He's like, Snake, do you know who that is? And Snake will be like, are you kidding? It's Mario. Stuff like that.
Sweet.
Yeah, it's bizarre and sweet. You know, Otacon is there too for some of them. So, like, they got a lot of the cast actually to do some voice work for Smash Brothers. Probably because they're all so conveniently recording for Metal Gear Solid 4 right now.
Yeah, that's probably it. Hey, whatever works.
Yep.
So, the orange box for, the Half-Life 2 compilation comes out next Wednesday, and they began this week preloading the Half-Life 2 Episode 2 and Portal content. So if you preloaded, make sure, or if you pre-ordered, make sure you're preloading.
What are you getting that for?
PC, already a done deal, paid in full.
Well, we can't play it together then.
Well, I wanted to get the beta a month early.
well, crap.
Well, my plan is to... I'm probably going to rent the 360 version on Gamefly so I can, like, play with you guys for a bit. And then if I decide that it's worth it, I might even end up getting it on that platform, too.
You have to keep up in your achievements race with Chris.
I know. Oh, he's ahead of me by 2 points, and I'm not pleased with that at all.
Because he played Eternal Sonata, and he's getting more Halo points than you are.
I know. I got to start running people over the Mongoose soon.
Yeah.
So we were all pleased to hear that the DualShock 3 is coming at TGS, but after a word from Game Daily Biz, Immersion has revealed that the DualShock 3 is using the exact same tech used in the DualShock 2. Immersion had developed a new and cheaper rumble technology that uses one rumble engine instead of the two to create actually better effects, and for whatever reason, Sony chose not to use it, which is... I think it kind of shows us how last minute this was, that they didn't take the time to develop a way of implementing the new technology, that they just basically threw in the old stuff.
What kind of... Does the Xbox controller uses immersion technology, right?
I believe they all do.
Wait, I don't think the Wii one does for some reason.
Yeah, I'm not 100% positive, but the Xbox does. Well, I think they all three had to settle the lawsuit, and just Nintendo and Microsoft settled it, you know, before their consoles came out. So we got the Simpsons game lead designer Greg Rizzer was doing an interview with CVG, and I mean, if anyone watches The Simpsons, you know they parody a lot of things, and the game is basically a parody of a whole bunch of other games, some of them owned by EA, such as things like Medal of Homer and NeverQuest, and other ones not so much, like they have a spoof that we've all seen called Grand Theft Scratchy. Well, it turns out that during Leipzig, Rockstar made them take down the Grand Theft Scratchy posters, and they've also complained enough that they had to remove content from the game, and apparently a bunch of other developers did this too. But I just think That is so incredibly lame, because, I mean, how much of, like, Grand Theft Auto is Rockstar satirizing, like, everything else in the world? And then somebody satirizes them a little bit, and they freak out?
Why is the Simpsons game be getting so much press? That's what
I
want to know.
I'll talk about that later, because I played the demo, and it's good. But,
what?
Not to get ahead of ourselves. But, I mean, like, they did make another poster. It was called Sitar Hero that featured Apu playing a 60-button controller, and Harmonix liked it so much they actually asked for copies of the poster. So I don't see why, like, Rockstar has a bug up their ass about this. I think it's pretty stupid.
Well, it's more their lawyers than, like, the developers.
Yeah, I mean, that's probably what it was. But even still, you gotta say, like, I work for a company that satirizes everything. Like, I mean, really, more than anything, this just kind of hurts their, like, kind of gamer reputation a little bit. I bet you it'll be forgotten in, like, a month, but I just think it's really lame of them. Speaking of things that are lame, the PS3 40GB SKU has been made official in Europe, and I believe Australia as well. It'll come out in England for a price of £299. To get this particular console's cost down, aside from a smaller hard drive, it only has two USB ports instead of four. There's none of the memory card readers, and there is absolutely no backwards compatibility. Eurogamer interviewed Sony UK boss Ray Maguire, which was supposed to be an explanation of why there's no backwards compatibility, and it's just a bunch of PR spin. And my favorite quote is, "So it was a big decision, and we knew it was a very emotive subject, as lots of people think that backwards compatibility is high on the agenda, and yet few really use it." Well, first of all, the people who think that it's high on the agenda is apparently the rest of Sony, because they were touting that over and over in the last 2 years. And I don't know about you, but that's pretty much all I use my PS3 for. And that's only because I sold my PS2. I mean, you don't even use your PS3 because you're using your PS2.
Yeah, I have my PS2 down here, so I just... Man, I've been playing on my PS2 a lot.
But the thing I don't understand is, when they introduced the 80GB SKU, backwards compatibility became a software solution. So unless there is still some hardware involved with that SKU that they don't tell us about, I don't see why they had to remove the backwards compatibility if it's done in software now. And I just, like, everyone's like I was in a big argument about this on the 1UP message boards, and people are like, oh, who cares, just buy a PS2, and why is backwards compatibility so much important? And I'm trying to say, I don't care. Like, if they come out and explain why they removed it, fine. I'm so sick of Sony being like, you know, Rumble's the last-gen feature. Oh, hey, look, we're going to introduce this great new Rumble controller. Backwards compatibility is a pillar of the PlayStation brand. Oh, no one uses it. We're getting rid of it. It's just that kind of flip-flopping in their corporate messages that is getting really annoying, and I just wish they'd explain things, like, straight up.
It took the Hippocratic Oath.
Ah, yes. that was a good one.
Thank you. I don't know. Sony, I think that things have been going kind of so wrong for them that they're trying to do the exact opposite of what they'd done, like, 6 months ago.
Oh, yeah, I mean, everything that they've done in the last couple months smacks of desperation. I mean, they're just shoehorning all this stuff in, just, like, trying to fix the price, fix the Rumble situation. When this is really, I mean, they shouldn't be surprised about any of this. People have been complaining about these things from day one. I mean, we all remember hearing that the 6-axis had no Rumble in the $599 announcement. It's not like they didn't know, like 6 minutes later, like, oh no, it turns out that people don't like us because we don't have Rumble and we're expensive. We need to fix this. I mean, they knew this was coming.
You know, whenever I want to, like, throw in a good old giant enemy crabs joke or massive damage joke, some people are like, that's so old. That meme or whatever they say, that's so old. You know what? That's still pretty funny to me.
Oh, that's priceless to me.
That was one of my favorite gaming moments, was watching that 2006 Sony E3 conference.
That was a good time.
Although, you know, at the time it was 2 hours long and I was just like, wow, this is boring and a horrible train wreck. But when you watch that 1 minute version of it, it's pretty priceless. Oh god, Sony. You know, it's a big commentary on the industry that we look at, because they were first place for 10 years. And all of a sudden, they find themselves in a position where, you know, they're lagging behind and they need to do a lot of work. Nothing is guaranteed in this industry. You can't get lazy. You can't just make bizarre choices that you justify with, like, concepts that you make up yourself. You can't just say, oh, people want home entertainment systems, and not really base that off of any research.
Right.
You know? You got to keep up. You can't just make up your own trends and try to follow them.
Exactly. Well said.
No, oh, thank you.
Yes.
See, I'm quiet most of the time during news, but I got a few gems.
So one game I'm looking forward to coming out at the end of the month will be Guitar Hero 3.
I'm looking forward to Guitar Hero 3 because Guitar Hero 3 has a hell of a track list.
It does.
Like, everyone, I know Rock Band's going to be sweet, and everyone knows why, but Guitar Hero 3, just like the track list alone, it's really exciting. And so, I know you're going to talk about the new songs, right?
No, actually, I'm not.
There's
new songs every week, so if there's one you want to talk about, go ahead.
Devil Went Down to Georgia.
Oh, that is actually pretty cool.
Oh, my God. It's a cover, so I hope it's good. But, yes. That is nice.
Well, when you're playing that on the PS3, Yeah, me neither, because Red Octane and Activision, whatever, made a big deal that all their controllers are going to be wireless. However, in the PS3 version, the guitars will not be using the Bluetooth wireless. They're actually using USB dongles shaped like guitar picks. So, I think the reason they did this is, as you recall, there was a lot of complaints of PS3 owners that, like, because of the Bluetooth wireless technology, sometimes the controller would spaz out every so often. And if that were to happen in Guitar Hero, it would be disastrous. So right. I'm guessing they figured this was the best way to avoid it. I hate having to plug things into my consoles anymore. I really do.
Oh,
so I'm hoping none of this has been said for the 360 version. I'm hoping those, because that does have wireless guitars as well. And I'm hoping they just use the regular wireless format.
I don't see why they wouldn't.
Yeah. And according to some FCC filings, it seems like the Rock Band guitars for the PS3 will be doing the same thing.
Yeah. Makes
and,
sense.
And the last news story, and this was this snuck up on me because I missed a lot of this stuff earlier in the week, all the rumors, but it was confirmed. Bungie and Microsoft are parting ways. In a kind of landmark move, Bungie regained their independence from Microsoft. They will still use the 360 as their primary development platform. They said they're not like rushing out the door to buy PS3 and Wii dev kits. Microsoft Game Studios, I believe they get the first option to publish Bungie games, and Microsoft retains the rights to Halo. So, I mean, basically, Bungie just became a second-party developer, although it's very rare, and I don't think it's ever been done, to see somebody go from first-party back to being independent.
Never?
I don't think it. Huh. I couldn't think of a single example of it, especially something so high-profile, you know?
Silicon Knights, they were second-party, right?
Yeah, they were never first.
Okay.
And I mean, the speculation for the reason why they did this is, like, I think Bungie just kind of got sick. Like, they missed being independent, especially some of the old-timers at the company who were there when it was founded. And basically, Microsoft had two options. Let Bungie go and then retain a good publishing cooperation with them, or be stubborn, hold on to the company, and then half the company just quits and forms a new studio anyway, and now you're screwed. So this was really in Microsoft's best interest. And according to Bungie's website, where they kind of talked about this, they said, honestly, gamers will probably not even notice a difference. So don't worry, like, you know, downloadable content for Halo 3 is coming. They're still going to work in the Halo franchise. Really, nothing's been changed. It's just kind of an interesting shuffling around of the corporate culture there.
Right. Well, I think it's going to take a time to see if this has any effect on anything.
This is far from, like, Halo on PS3 confirmed or anything.
That'd be funny.
Yeah, it's like Mario on a Nintendo platform.
It's like Sega. I mean, it's like Sonic on a Nintendo platform.
Yeah, I said, oh boy, never mind. You know what I meant to say.
And, well, I messed up too.
So. Yeah. Okay. So, we're gonna recap. Sonic on a Nintendo platform.
Hey, that really happened. Lol.
It did. I know. Isn't that crazy? That's the news. I'm gonna stop talking for the moment because I'm jumbled. Go ahead.
Okay. All right, best ever.
Oh, boy.
And, well, I have been playing a PSP game called Mega Man Powered Up.
Uh-huh.
Which is a remake of the first Mega Man. So, I know this is a bit of a daunting task, but I think we're going to have to talk about the best Mega Man game ever.
Oh, good lord.
Yes, now, yes.
I kind of feel like we should eschew talking about every single one of them, because there's about 50 of them.
We can talk about the notable ones, I think.
Yeah, let's just talk about, like, the kind of important ones.
Okay. Well, real quick, let's start with the original series. Like, we don't have to spend, an hour or so on each
one. Well, had Mega Man's 1 through 6 on the NES.
Okay, you're really clumping them together.
A little bit.
Well, I'll go through them a little bit. Mega Man 1 was the introduction, had a lot of, it was shorter, it was less well-paced. You couldn't slide, you couldn't charge up, but it was still fun, well-made. Introduced the whole, paper, scissor, rock format. Mega Man 2, a lot of people consider Mega Man 2, the masterpiece of the series, because it took a lot of the concepts of Mega Man 1 and, really made them better. You had 8 robot masters. It was just a very well-designed game. You know what I'm talking about.
And it was always fun to kill Metal Man in one shot with his own weapon.
Yes. And then Mega Man 3 had Snake Man, first off, which was awesome. And I think that was the one that introduced sliding. Mega Man 4 introduced the charge shot. Oh, Mega Man 3 might have also introduced Rush.
Yeah, one of them did.
Yeah, and then Mega Man 5, I don't think it introduced anything, but Proto Man was in it again. Proto Man was also in 3, so that was awesome.
Yeah.
Mega Man 6 was weird, because it had all those suit upgrade things.
Yeah, like the jet suit and the power suit.
Yeah, that was a little weird. 7 was the only Super Nintendo. Isn't that weird that there's only one Mega Man game for the Super Nintendo?
Yeah.
There were 6, because that's because they kept making them for the NES even while Super Nintendo was around.
Yeah.
But only Mega Man 7 for the Super Nintendo, which never clicked that well with me. I don't know why.
Yeah, something was off about that game.
I don't know. Then we had Mega Man 8.
That was good.
Which was awesome. Bad anime cutscenes aside.
Oh, terrible.
Yes.
Hey, Bass, why must we fight? We are not enemies. Shut up.
But, that was a gorgeous 2D game.
Mm-hmm.
Wonderful. And then we have the X series, which I don't like as much as the normal series.
I like the X series.
What?
I like the
you
X
too?
Series.
You too? Uh-huh. You like the X series better than the normal series?
I almost may.
Oh, I can't understand it. Mega Man X1 was great. X2 was a lot like X1. X3 was pretty good. X4 was awesome.
Yeah.
But after that...
Okay, I should clarify. X1 through 4 was awesome. After that, it kind of fell apart. Yeah,
Specifically, Mega Man X7 and X8,
Didn't X5 have some weird kind of time element to it?
X5 was... Yeah, but it was actually kind of fun, too.
I just
in a lot of ways.
That time constraint like that.
Well, it was a pretty... It was a pretty, generous time constraint.
Yeah.
I was never like, oh no, I'm running. It's a time constraint for the whole game, so, it's not like it's going to be really creeping up on you.
Right.
More of a plot device than anything else. 6, I can't even remember very much of. One of them was, they just gave up, and, you know how in Mega Man X games you, got all the suits and stuff?
Mm-hmm.
One of them just gave you them in the very beginning.
Oh, that's not good. I didn't even know that.
It was kind of fun, though. it was easy. So, you rent it. You just get, the flying suit. And was like, whee! Okay.
The one you skipped over that eventually it was kind of Mega Man 9 was
Mega
Man
and Base.
Forte. Yeah, which came out finally into the Super Game Boy Advance as Mega Man and Base.
Very solid game. It's a hard one.
It's good. I remember playing it. I had a translated ROM of the original SNES version long before it came out on GBA playing it. And it's
yeah,
really
me too.
Fun.
It is fun. Then we have Mega Man Legends. Remember that?
That was a good game. I'm waiting for that to come out in the Virtual Console.
Oh, yeah,
maybe
it was
even
a super,
PSN.
It was a 64 game. I forgot
actually,
it was a 64.
It'd be sweet if it came out on the PSN as one of the PS1 classics, because then I could put it in the PSP and play it that way, too.
Mega Man Legends, yeah. There were some... The dungeons in that game were bizarre because they were so, big, and your objectives were so vague, you can get lost in those things.
Yeah,
it was kind of creepy.
Mega Man's voice didn't suck in that game.
Yeah.
I think it was, the only time I was ever like, oh, that's an okay voice.
Well, in Powered Up, it's okay.
Oh, is it? That's good.
Yeah. Mega Man Legends 2, I didn't play a whole lot of that one, but it's there. Let's not forget about all, the portable Mega Man games.
Yeah,
they were pretty solid.
There was all the ones on the Game Boy. Remember, all the guys were named after planets and stuff, and
right.
They were actually
There's
pretty
also
decent.
There was Mega Man Extreme 1 and 2, which were, the X series Game Boy games. Those were pretty good, too,
actually.
Oh, yeah,
they took X and put it on the Game Boy Color, which actually worked surprisingly well.
Right. Then we have the Mega Man Zero games,
the
first two of those I really liked. What'd you say?
They're fantastic. They're hard as hell,
yeah.
But they're fantastic.
Three I didn't like as much. Maybe four is good. I haven't played that one yet. But yeah, some of those are really good.
Right?
Yeah.
I think that's the one I rented, and it had this very strange kind of way of getting around. It was like this kind of overworld map, and you move. It's still 2D, but like the way things connected, like, didn't really make sense, and it was a little jarring. But like the gameplay itself was great. I actually finished that one.
We have like the newest ones, those XY games for the DS. I haven't played a whole lot of those.
Yeah.
Then there's the popular Battle Network games.
Those, which I played. I mean, the first one was all right. This is cool, and then they just kind of started popping out sequels.
I played the first two, and they were fun, but I just didn't want to play anymore.
Yeah.
I think that was a pretty good overview.
Mm-hmm.
Mega Man Soccer.
Oh yeah, and then we did have in addition to Mega Man Powered Up, there was the Mega Man Maverick Hunter X that came out on PSP.
Well, we're not talking about remakes.
Well, that's really just what brought this up.
Okay, good point. All right, do you have a favorite Mega Man game then?
I do, and it is the original Mega Man X.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Just because
I could see that.
I thought it was a really good jump from like the kind of older style of like the NES games to like because I mean Mega Man 7. It was just the NES games with like slightly prettier graphics, and it was it's starting to feel a little generic at that point, and Mega Man X kind of revitalized it. And like something about that game seemed more like kind of action-packed with like the dashing and the wall kicking and just everything that game had going for it. And then when they did do the Maverick Hunter X remake on the PSP, I was like, why didn't they start doing Mega Man games on the PS1 or PS2 like this a long time ago? Because it just plays really well. I don't know, I just really like that game. I like all the unlockables. I think Mega Man looks really cool once you get like all his armor upgrades and everything. So that would be my favorite.
All right. My favorite is actually Mega Man 5.
Really?
Yeah. I got a lot of nostalgic. That was the one I played a lot as a kid. It has Proto Man in it, which is awesome. By that point, Mega Man had all of his major, like, you know, basic upgrades, like sliding and charging. A lot of good boss battles. I just really dug Mega Man 5.
See, I was totally expecting you to say 3.
3 was really good, too. And 3 is up there. 3 is like Mega Man. 3 has all the polish of Mega Man 2, but with, like, weirder villain, like, robot masters.
That's Snake Man.
Like, 2... Yeah, that's Snake Man and, like, stuff like that. But, you know, it was sweet. I mean, I liked pretty much all of the NES ones, maybe 6 being my least favorite. But... And then I also loved Mega Man 8 a lot. But yeah, I like a lot of Mega Man games, but 5 was just had a lot of my favorite elements in it, and I just really liked that one.
Alright.
So, alright, that's it. Best Mega Man ever. See, I knew we could do it.
Alright, mission accomplished.
Alright, so our week in gaming. What have you been playing?
I've been playing something you've been playing, and that would be the phenomenal Legend of Zelda: The Phantom Hourglass.
Oh yeah.
How good is this game?
I really, really dig that game.
Like, I was bagging it for being kind of the formulaic Zelda game. But first of all, I think if you don't do that, people will get pissed. And second of all, like, just as kind of like Ocarina of Time took the Zelda, translated into a 3D control scheme, this is really taking it and taking it away from traditional controls to a touch screen control scheme that works. Like, this is the first...
Yeah, calling this game traditional and, like, criticizing it for that is bizarre, because it does so many interesting things.
Yeah, like
with
the only other game
screen,
I played that makes has this much touchscreen control that I liked as much was Kirby Canvas Curse. That was I just found out the other day that you can like hold down the left trigger to activate your items rather than tapping it, and I've started doing that just because like my finger's right there anyway. And but like other than that, like you don't use any buttons. It's incredible. It really works.
Yeah, use like the down button to open up your map.
That's it.
I tell you what, that is the neatest feature of that game is note taking and the way that plays into it.
That's actually one of my few complaints about the game is. I mean, it's neat, but sometimes it just boils down to, hey, just draw this and then go do it. There's very little.
I think that's
cool, I'm just saying, like sometimes. The game kind of tells you what to do. There's very few times where you're walking around with no idea what to do next, and you have to figure it out. You know what I mean?
Well, there are times because sometimes the clues are vague. I don't think you're too far in it yet, right?
Yeah, I'm on my way to the. I just got the salvage arm for my ship.
Well, okay.
To give you an idea of where I am, but yeah, like maybe it'll get harder. But like,
did you get to like the island that looked like a whale? No. See, like that one. You have to use like note taking, but it's vague at a time too. I disagree with you.
Then. That's good to hear that.
But you know, people complaining that it's formulaic. I mean, what the heck are you expecting? You know, people, they give Halo 3 tens, and that's incredibly formulaic.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, it's just
exactly.
It's flip floppy, and I don't like it.
Yeah, and how good are the graphics?
Yeah, they're very good.
I mean, this is exactly what the Wind Waker style was designed to do. I mean, it looks... I mean, aside from the fact that like they don't have fingers, it pretty much looks just like the GameCube game.
Yeah, and I like Linebeck.
Yeah, he's funny.
I enjoy Linebeck. But yeah, I really like Phantom Hourglass. I'm looking forward to playing more of it.
Absolutely.
And I like the sailing, too, so everyone can shut the hell up.
Yeah, sailing, this one works... It kind of takes sailing the idea they before. Developed in the Star Fox Command.
I always liked sailing. Everyone complained about it. Shut up.
Yeah.
All right. What else have you been playing?
So, one thing I hinted at earlier I wanted to talk about it was yesterday I got a chance to play the demo for the Simpsons game that they released just on the PSN. And, like, I enjoyed every second of
really?
It. I was pleasantly surprised by how good this is, actually. Like, because it really, I mean, taken on its own, strictly from the gameplay element, it's, like, slightly above average. I mean, you get basic running around, double jumping, a melee and a ranged attack, and some, like, power-ups.
Right.
But, like, it captures that Simpsons kind of, you know, feel perfectly. Like, the demo level, it starts off, like, they do the cutscenes with, the traditional animated Simpsons characters with 3D cel-shaded backgrounds that kind of match the game world. And it starts off with, like, you see Lard Lad with his giant donut sign smashing up Springfield. Kent Brockman's on the scene to report, and, like, Homer and Bart go running in. Homer punches Kent Brockman as he runs by him for no reason. So, like, you see Brockman getting his helicopter, and he's providing commentary throughout the entire level. And, I mean, it just does so many great things. Like, there's these unlockables that you could find called video game cliches. And I hit the first one by the way you defeat Lard Lad, you have to, like, open these, like, hit these hatches on his backside with Bart's slingshot, and then jump in there and rip his, like, internals out.
Right.
The first time you do it, the comic book guy pops up, and it says, video game cliché number one, obvious weak point on enemy bosses. I was like, ha, that's pretty
funny.
And they said that was one of three, so I'm like, oh, what are the other two? So I'm running around the stage, and they have the Springfield tire fire in the background. I try to jump over the fence, and I get stuck, and it pops up, video game cliché number two, invisible walls. And so I'm just running around the level wondering what the third one can be, and I'm down by the docks. I'm like, I know. So I jump in the water, and it pops up, video game cliche, you can't swim.
That's pretty funny.
And then, I mean, they're just kind of, you know, the characters are, like, shouting stuff throughout the level. Like, you know, like, if you're playing around this bar, you hear Homer shout, believe in yourself, boy, even if I don't.
That's pretty good.
And, yeah, and this level was pretty generic. Like, it wasn't really spoofing any one particular game. And you look at the video and you see, like, Medal of Homer, NeverQuest. There's one that's, like, a Katamari spoof. I think it's going to be a really fun game. And it has the two-player co-op, which I don't think is in the demo, but I could see seeing it being a lot of fun as a co-op game.
Oh, sounds pretty good, then.
Yeah.
Well, have you been playing more Halo?
You know, actually, like I said, I was out of town this week, and I really haven't played much of it. Like, that's why I was playing a lot of Phantom Hourglass, mm-hmm. at least.
Yeah, me neither. I've been playing mostly Phantom Hourglass, too.
Honestly, I think, like, the only other thing I really played it all this week, I got the God of War mobile game.
The mobile
game. For
cell
phones, which is surprising. Yeah, it's actually pretty decent, but,
Is the demo for that out yet?
Other than that.
For the PSP one?
The PSP, they began mailing it if you signed up on the website, yeah. And I realized that when I signed up, I had my old address in there, and I tried to change it, but I'm guessing I changed it too late, so I might have missed that.
Yeah. You know, I got that demo for Ratchet & Clank Future.
Oh, how's
that? I haven't played it yet. Probably should have, so I could have talked about it. But I'm excited to.
Yeah, the downloadable demo, it was going to come out this week. I think it got pushed back a week.
Right. But I'm going to try that soon. That should be fun.
Yeah.
But yeah.
You play anything else?
Well, no. Mostly Phantom Hourglass. There is one other game.
Of course there
yes.
is.
Yes. And we'll start the music. Let that play for a little bit.
There it goes.
Whee. Shh. Ah. That's so pleasant. All right. Mike's Adventures in Final Fantasy. I am still in Final Fantasy VII, and I am getting very close to the end.
Nice.
Yes, because I just got one thing to do, then I'll be on Disc 3. And Disc 3 is pretty much like, you know, go do all the side quests you want, then go fight Sephiroth whenever you want to. So I'll just be busy doing side quests for a bit. I plan to get my gold chocobo so that I can, you know, get Knights of the Round, quad magic or whatever. But, you know, the Materia system in general has really grown on me. I really like that magic system.
Yeah, it was a good
one. It is a good one because, you know, get upgrade things. Like, I got the Materia for double cut. So, you know, now, like, I can really assign my, like, a character to be, like, you're, like, my attack person because you're going to attack twice a round. And, you know, when I level that up, it's going to be, like, the four times cut. So, you know, that's going to be insane. And there are a lot of side quests. You know, go on, like, every character has a side quest to get their ultimate weapon, to get their ultimate limit break, stuff like that. The game is just, it's filled with a lot of content. I can see why people played it for so long and why people loved it so much. And, you know, it's just great. The graphics, they hold up surprisingly well. Like, yeah, like, you know, the normal character models are really blocky and weird, but, you know, they still represent characters fine enough. And the music has just been fantastic still. I've actually just recently been downloading, like, and printing while I'm working on the computer labs, Final Fantasy piano sheet music, and trying to play through that. You know, it's a lot of fun stuff. Do you have any questions about Final Fantasy VII you want to ask me?
I mean, we kind of talked about it in depth last week.
We did.
I mean, you're just, I mean, I not to simplify it, but you've just been kind of doing more of the same, just getting closer to the end, right?
I am getting closer to the end. I will have it beat by this time next week, I think. I didn't get to play it very much the last few days because of school and stuff, but I'm getting there, and then I'm going to secure a copy of Final Fantasy VIII.
Yeah, good luck with that.
Well, it should be too bad. I just don't have any money for it, but I'll figure it out.
Right.
Right. But, yeah, I'm plowing through. I'm still really enjoying it. And, you know, a bit short this week. Not a whole lot to say, but I'll get to it. I'll be beating that son of a bitch Sephiroth soon. All right, why don't you talk about the downloadable game releases?
All right, we had a light week this week, but an exciting week nonetheless. Most notably on the Wii's Virtual Console, we got two very surprising games. First of all is a game called Sin and Punishment for Nintendo 64, which was a game made by Treasure. And I have to be completely honest, I never even heard of this game. Have you?
I think I might have heard. I might have
just
heard of
rumblings
it, but I didn't
a few
know
weeks ago that
good.
Like, it was coming, and everyone seemed really excited. And it seems kind of like a. It almost sounds kind of like Space Harrier a little bit. You're kind of like constantly running forward and shooting, but everyone seems to think this game is like the greatest thing ever. So I think I'm gonna try to download this week. The only thing kind of sucks is it's instead of the usual 1,000 points for the Wii, it's 1,200 points. I hate how they're like selective about that. Like, can't it just be standard pricing? It's not like it was any harder for them to put this game on the Virtual Console. But, you got that. And then, also surprising is they released Super Mario Bros. The Lost Levels.
Also known as Super Mario Bros. 2.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised they did this. As far as I can tell, it's like the Japanese version. They just changed up the title screen.
Yeah, that's...
And, but again, too, this is instead of 500, 600
right, but
points.
That's interesting. I see that that's there.
But it's a good sign that maybe we'll get some import games coming to the Virtual
Console.
Maybe
we'll get the original Mother. That'd be neat.
That would be cool. Well, I mean, that would require a lot of translation, so that's not as likely.
Right, right.
Not impossible. So, yeah, check those out if you're so inclined. Mm-hmm. On the Xbox, we got Tetris Splash, which I played. It's a very competent Tetris game.
But it's Tetris.
It even has a remix of the old Tetris theme, but yeah, it's
How much are they charging me for Tetris this time?
$10. Yeah. Which is just stupid. And then, even better, like, the next day, they had, like, 14 pieces of downloadable content.
What are they?
I don't even know. And it's like, seriously, like, you developed all this stuff to, like, with the explicit purpose of charging us for it later?
Yeah.
I mean, it's Tetris. It's not like you had to do any design work. You just said, okay, we're going to make Tetris, and you did it. It's not hard.
Yeah.
I just don't see how that's worth, like, all that, like, I mean, $5, Tetris on the 360 with live multiplayer? Yeah, I'll do that. $10, and then you're going to, like, nickel and dime me? No, thank you.
Is that it for Xbox Live?
And yeah, that they just had that. The PSN has Go Sports Ski for $3. Oh. Some kind of skiing game that uses the 6-axis.
The price is right.
Yeah, but I don't care. And then GameTap was actually my most exciting pick of this week because we have the headlining game this week is Clockwork Knight for the Saturn.
Clockwork Knight, really?
How good was
that?
That
was good. I liked Clockwork Knight 2 a lot.
Yeah. That's coming.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That's an interesting choice, though. Clockwork Knight was fun stuff.
Yep. We also had on GameTap a game called Emergency 3, which is some RTS, I guess. And this game called Penumbra Overture Episode 1, which I actually played before it kind of... it's a one-man effort. He was releasing it for free, and then it became so popular he started selling it. Now it's on GameTap. And it's just kind of a survival horror first-person game that has a really interesting way of physics. Like, everything you do, you have to use, like, your in-game hand to, like, you know, throw things and stuff and open and close doors and, like, everything. And it's actually a pretty neat game, so that's definitely worth checking out,
too. Burning Rangers ever go on GameTap or anything?
Oh, no. If it had, I would have told you. Don't worry.
I want to play that game so badly.
Hey, I mean, the fact that they're getting these Saturn games out means that maybe someday they will.
I hope so.
Which would be fantastic.
When do you think Saturn games are going to... You think Saturn games will ever show up on a virtual console?
No, they're too big.
Really?
But then again, I mean, they are bringing the TurboGrafx CD game, so who knows? Maybe they will.
Okay. Anything else weekly game releases for downloadable stuff?
That's it. So
let's talk about the real games. First off, October 10th for 360 and PC, The Orange Box.
Woot.
You know, I think it's funny they still call this The Orange Box, considering there's no black box anymore.
Yeah.
But, this is Half-Life 2, Episodes 1 and 2, Portal and Team Fortress 2 for $60. Man, what a deal.
Yeah, you will not find a better deal in gaming ever. And then the PC version is $50. And if you pre-order it on Steam, and I think a lot of retailers are participating too, you get $5 off.
I am just so excited. I mean, I'm going to play through Half-Life 2 again, finally beat Episode 1, beat Episode 2, play through Portal, and play a lot of Team Fortress 2.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to be a great package. I got to get my 360 fixed.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, we were talking about this before. I think it might be worth it, too, for me to get the 360 version. I wouldn't mind playing through Half-Life 2 and Episode 1 again in the 360 because it's going to have the HDR lighting applied, better character models, and there's, 99 achievements in the game?
Yeah, there's a lot of achievements.
Yes, please.
Yeah, that'd be nice. But Orange Box, really looking forward to that. We got FIFA Soccer 08 for 360 and PS3, October 9th. I forget, is this the good soccer series, or is Winning 11 the good one?
Winning 11's a good one, but FIFA's been getting a lot better in recent years. In fact, I played the demo for this one, and I really don't like soccer games, but I mildly enjoyed it.
Oh, that's good.
It does some neat things with the right stick for manipulating the soccer ball.
Now, this is really cool. Final Fantasy Tactics, The War of the Lions, PSP, October 9th.
Can't wait.
Day
and date purchase for me. I'm so excited for that.
I really want. I don't know if I'm going to get it right away, though, because I'm busy.
I'm so all over it. Yeah, you've got your other Final Fantasies going, but like this was... I actually managed to snag this game up when it was re-released as the Greatest Hits Collection, like very briefly, and like I liked it, but like the translation used to be terrible, and it's really complicated, and I'm kind of like ready to kind of give it another shot. Plus, they said the translation, this one's just fantastic, and it basically fixed every problem with the PlayStation original and even improved upon the stuff that did work.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, I really do. I'm going to get it eventually.
Yes.
I want to beat Zelda first, though, for sure. Sega Rally Revo for PC, 360, PS3, and PSP, October 9th. I never really got into the Sega Rally series.
I enjoyed them back in the day, and I played... They released a demo for PS3 and 360. I played the 360 demo. And, I mean, it's basically... It plays exactly like ye old Sega Rally, just with prettier graphics.
Yeah.
And I think in a way, the game might be a little overpriced because of that. Like, it's kind of shallow.
Right.
From what I hear. But if you liked Sega Rally, apparently you will absolutely love this game.
We got Folklore for the PS3, October 12th.
I played through half of that demo on the PS3. I don't see what the big deal is. Everyone's like, oh, this game's amazing. But, like, the basic gameplay, it's just like the Bard's Tale game that came out on the Xbox and PS2, where, like, yeah, you, like, instead of, like, just attacks, you're, like, summoning creatures to attack for you, but, like, it's so quick, you may as well have swung the sword yourself.
Right.
And everyone talked about this great mechanic of using the six axis to, like, wrestle the souls out of your enemy. All it is that when their soul's green, when it turns red, you just have to shake the controller up. It's like, I mean, a button press would have done the exact same thing.
Mm.
Well, but I mean, it was okay. It's like something I'd say, like, you know, it's like a, like I'd give a 7 to maybe if I was reviewing.
It's funny you say that, because GameSpot 7. You just handed out a score for a game you played probably 10 minutes of.
I just said if.
Don't do that again.
If I had to.
Don't do
okay,
that
fine.
Again. God.
Yeah.
Neverwinter Nights 2, Mask of the Betrayer, PC, October 9th. I never liked Neverwinter Nights, ever.
Yeah, well, I did hear that some good things about the expansion. So if you are into Neverwinter Nights,
like
I guess
it,
you'll
like it. Oh, Bleach, Shattered Blade for the Wii, October 9th.
Which one's that again?
Bleach is an anime, I know that much.
Oh, okay.
Looks like another Waggle game. Where, you know, swing your remote, you'll swing a sword.
Okay.
Kind of thing. Star Wars Battlefront Renegade Squadron for the PSP, October 9th.
So, I'm curious to see how this is going to review.
Now, this is a brand new Battlefront game, right? Only for the PSP?
PSP exclusive.
Interesting. I guess it was...
Because apparently Battlefront 2 did well on the PS2, or the PSP, but it didn't have, like, infrastructure online play, which is kind of important for that series. So this one was developed specifically as a PSP game, and launching with that, I believe, will be the PSP limited edition Star Wars pack, right?
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. FIFA Soccer shows up again. We already talked about that. Juice 2, High and Important Nights. What the hell? We talked. This is on the release date for the last like 2 times we did the podcast.
It's never a good sign.
Jesus Christ, Juice 2. Get out there. God, no one cares. Bleach, again, the Blade of Fate for the DS. Whatever. I never watched Bleach. That's it. We had to end on the Bleach note.
Yeah. Go buy your Orange Box, kiddies.
Yeah, Orange Box, God, it's going to be awesome. I'll be playing that, definitely. I'm going to beat Final Fantasy VII. I promise. And, you know, if anyone wants to mail me a free copy of Final Fantasy VIII, you know, I like that. You know, I found our old copies of Final Fantasy Anthology, Final Fantasy Chronicles, and Chrono Cross for the PlayStation.
Really?
Yeah, I think they're in one of your boxes that you brought here. That's interesting,
good.
Though. I could have played through those games on
the
PlayStation. Yeah, they're there.
Oh, good.
I never liked Chrono Cross that much.
Yeah. Too many. That one guy who was kind of cool, the black magic dude.
Too many characters.
Yeah.
All right, though. But that's it for this week. A little bit of a shorter week, but, you know, we're playing stuff. You got stuff to play. Get Orange Box. Get War of the Lions. Go be little consumer whores. Keep our industry afloat so that millions of gamers around the world can make a living off of talking about people wanting to buy games.
Make a living off of this?
Some people do. Not
no,
me.
Not us.
But I hope I'd like to someday.
Yeah, that'd be nice.
I'm already starting to get games for free and stuff, so.
Yeah, lucky dog.
It's a nice cycle. All right, but that's it.
Yeah, be sure to, as always, check out our blog, explodingbarrel.wordpress.com. I promise we're gonna post there more. Mike, you especially. I think
me?
You posted there once.
Okay, I'm sorry. I never think about
yes.
it.
Yes. We're going to try to make the blog something that you want to go to every day and see what we're talking about.
You have to remember, I have a weekly column. I already have to think of stuff to write about. But
why don't
I'll
tell
post
us about
it.
The weekly
what?
Column. Why don't you tell us about the weekly column?
Okay, all right. Okay, I'll post more. I have a lot of free time when I'm at the computer labs, and I'll post more.
I was trying to give you a segue to pimp yourself out.
Oh. Well, yeah, everyone knows. I got Fridays. You got the Full Circle, my Xbox 360 column. But doing pretty good still. So please check that out. You know, recently I filled in for the Nintendo guy and wrote the Nintendo Files column.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah, just once. And since I've already written the Six Axis before, that makes me the first 411 Mania Triple Crown writer, I
Ooh,
think. Yes.
You should put that in your title.
I should. I've already, you know, gloated to everyone else. But yeah, pretty hot stuff. All right, that's enough. That's a pretty long ending
outro.
We have here. Yeah, outro.
Yeah.
All right, so thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you next week on the Exploding Barrel Podcast.